Well, another one of our special guests is Siobhan Canty, and she has over 20 years experience building social impact organizations, including fundraising, design and resource generating programs and products, communications and network building. She is the CEO and president of the Jefferson County Foundation, and we have her on the line. Are you there?
I am. Good morning, Chris.
Great connection. Well, it's good to have you back. I really enjoy our conversations. Let's get a rundown. What's happening in the county this week with the Jefferson County Foundation?
Well, it continues to be a difficult time for many, but we do have some good news to share this week. We are seeing some signs of reopening. The state parks will open next Tuesday and certain construction projects. We do want to encourage everyone to maintain distancing, but it's nice to feel like we can all get out and move around a little bit. More folks seem to be getting unemployment checks now, so that's good news. And we have 348 community members who have donated to the COVID Emergency Response Fund for a total of $345,000, which is just incredible. So our community is coming together. Over $245,000 is already out the door for food, financial assistance, shelter, mental health services, and people are starting to talk about recovery and what kind of community we want to come together to build going forward.
Well, there's lots happening out there, and you know, we know that teachers are in the middle of it all for a number of reasons, and I would love to hear what's happening with our teachers and what kind of support they're getting these days.
That's a great question, Chris, and it's one that we're really starting to work on together with schools and other partners like Jumping Mouse. And, you know, the answer is they're really not getting enough support. They are having to really serve as first responders right now. As families are staying at home, their young people cannot attend school if they don't have access to Wi-Fi or the right equipment at home. Many of them need additional support like food and financial assistance, and they're coming to the teachers to ask them where to get that information. So Jefferson Community Foundation is putting together a list of services, many of which I'll talk about on our conversation today, so that the teachers have them on hand and can provide them to the families and their students. But it really is a new role, and the teachers themselves need some additional support. Right before this happened, Jumping Mouse was going to start a program in the Chimicum schools for teachers, kind of a support group and information on how to understand when their students might need a little extra help in addition to the normal teaching activities. Unfortunately, that got interrupted by the stay-at-home order. So we're all coming together now to try to figure out what more we can do. But if other folks have ideas, we certainly do welcome them. And you can just reach out at info@jcfgives.org and let us know if you have resources for teachers. They need our support.
They do. And with the stay-at-home order, of course, that's given that kind of increased the load on the teachers and the demands on the teachers to be able to come up with curricula. And sometimes they have to design some of these avenues of education depending on the kinds of kids that they're dealing with.
Absolutely. And not only the kinds of kids they're dealing with, but the different levels of access that our young people have. You know, in the northern part of our county, most young people have access, although not all. And then as you move further south, just our internet service is just not what it needs to be for this time in education. And so one thing that we did this week was, from the COVID Response Fund, we made a grant of $25,000 to Stronger Towns to support the increase of internet access for students of low-income families. And our goal is really to do all of this work with the COVID Response Fund in a way that allows us to come out of this as a stronger community. And I think that if we're able to achieve connectivity and the right training and tools for every student in our county, that's a worthwhile goal to invest in right now and something that we can come out of this being proud of.
You know, for the ability of low-income students to be able to have adequate internet access, it seems to me that that would be a consideration that we should have in society, whether we're in a pandemic or not. But this day and age, this part of our development as a nation, as a country, and as a society, is to make sure that these kids actually have access and they have adequate access.
There's no question about that. And, you know, there have been people that have been working on this issue in our community in Jefferson County for many years, and now's the time for us to come together to solve it. And I just really want to tip my hat to folks like Dan Bauermeister at Stronger Towns, the folks at WAVE, Kate Dean and other commissioners, Mayor Sandoval. People are starting to come together around this question, and I really do believe that if we just dedicate the right amount of resources and thinking, and we have plenty of those here in Jefferson County, we can get this solved for good.
I think we talked about I think we talked a little bit about this maybe last week or the week before, but the kids that don't have access to internet, how is that being handled?
So there are internet hotspots all over the county at this point. Unfortunately, people have to travel to access them, but that's doable. You can go to any of the community centers or the libraries. There's actually a list up on our website at jcfgives.org where you can find the locations where free internet is now being offered. I do know also that there's an effort to increase the availability of hotspots throughout the county, but they're still working on that. So the best way to go right now is to find an entity in your near your home and go there. I realize that's an insufficient answer. Folks are working on it, but that's the best we have right now.
Well, Siobhan, there's all sorts of considerations, and another one of those considerations is a non-distractive environment in which the kid can actually get online and learn. And so those are all problems that need to be that have been pointed up by the crisis and have presented themselves for a solution. And I think that's healthy for society to do that.
It's very healthy. And, you know, one of the things that's happening through this is we're seeing where our systems are strong, like our food systems are really extraordinary. And we're seeing places where we need to do a little bit more work. And some of that is happening as we move through this. For example, the financial assistance organizations, OICAP and Dove House and St. Vincent de Paul and JACIRA, all coming together to make sure that we are holding our feet to the fire in terms of the level of assistance we're providing for folks who have not yet gotten their unemployment checks or folks who will not get them, and working together in new ways. So, again, I don't want to minimize the impact on so many in our community who are still suffering and haven't found those supports. But I think there's a lot of good things happening. The biggest reason that people aren't getting the support they need is because they don't know it's out there. So they don't realize that, for example, Dove House has expanded its rental assistance program, not just to its own clients, but to anyone who needs assistance as a result of being laid off from COVID or other things related to COVID. That anyone can go to them and get rental assistance, and anyone can go to St. Vincent de Paul and get rental assistance. So we're really working on making sure that word gets out through the schools, through the food banks, because support is there. We're making sure that it's adequate, and it's going up and down. As we see unemployment checks start to come through, we hope that we can spread that out a little bit to families who won't necessarily be getting unemployment checks. So it's a continually changing environment, but I think there's a lot of strength in our local nonprofit community, a lot of collaboration, and I'm really proud of the leadership that we're seeing.
You know, Siobhan, I was telling Kathleen earlier, there's so much to talk about and so little time, it seems. The minutes fly by here on Morning on the Salish, but I do want to address, I mean, you are a person, just because of the nature of the work that you and the foundation are doing, you have your ear to the ground. And How are the special needs teachers adapting, and how are the parents adapting?
That's a great question, too. I don't know if you know that Camp Bosite, which is a really stellar camp for young people and adults with special needs, has had to close their services for this summer. And those weeks really provide much-needed respite to caretakers. So it's a struggle. I think they're trying to find ways to reach folks at home. And for example, toolkits that are being sent to the house for teaching purposes. But it really lands on the parents to deliver those educational programs. So I think once we get opened back up and there are ways to operate safely, there's going to be some much needed respite care. So we'll be on standby with Camp Bosite to make sure that they can provide that and the special needs teachers who are taking a similar approach. I think that they're working double time as they do in normal times, but they're going to need some rest after this is done. It's quite taxing.
Yeah, speaking of that, but I do want to say that we have about a minute or two left here, but I do want to say that for those that are not familiar with Camp Bosite, it's a woodsy area with cabins and activity areas and walking paths and a little lake. And it's located outside of Chimicum down, what is it, Hidden? I want to say Hidden Valley Road, but that's not the right.
Anyway. It's just on the hill right behind the high school.
Behind the high school, down a ways, yeah. a couple of miles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a great place, and they've been doing good work, and kind of like, in a way, sort of under the radar.
Very much. I mean, we have just such stellar organizations here that do their work in normal times, really unrecognized and under-resourced. So it's great to have the opportunity to shine a light on what they do, particularly in these challenging times. So I was distressed to see that some of our key organizations, like the Northwest Maritime Center, had to cancel all of their events for the summer. But I think that we're seeing these leaders make the tough decisions for the good of our community. And I'm confident that with the huge heart and generosity of the residents here, that we're going to be able to support them through this and come back. Maybe not as we were before, but we will come back.
Well, in closing, Siobhan, for people that are looking for resources and information, what's the best hub to go to?
You can go to JCFGives, that's Jefferson Community Foundation, gives.org, and you can go there and find all of the services that have been talked about today and more. And as we close, Chris, I wanted to give a special shout-out to Kiwi Ferris of Edensaw. Edensaw Cancer Foundation gave $25,000 to this fund this week, just a tremendous show of support. So if you want to also give to the fund, all of the money you give will go straight out into the community. We have a long way to go, and we appreciate everyone coming together.
And thank you to all of you that are able to do that, all of our listeners out there. Siobhan Canty, thank you so much, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation, and just very much looking forward to some more conversation next week.
Thank you so much, Chris, and thanks to KPTZ for being a great community partner.
You bet. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.